And we're back. Speak up, Las Cruces. Apologies to the guests that we weren't back sooner. We got a call on a critical issue at the end. We're talking with Ellen Sage and Uta Thomas about dyslexia. Ms. Sage is the founder, board secretary, and therapist of the Dyslexia Institute of Southern New Mexico, Inc. And Ms. Thomas, if I got this right, is the Institute's academic director? Or?
That's correct. Yes.
One of you, tell folks what you guys do.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us as guests. We appreciate it. And I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Thomas to tell a little bit about what we do.
Well, we serve children with dyslexia, and we have special programs that are specifically created for teaching children with dyslexia who are smart little guys who learn in a different way.
I mean, as I understand it, dyslexia, and I've been reading about it separately, you know, the letters kind of jump around or you can't, it's an almost physical reading problem that for a long time people didn't even know about. But to the extent you know, what is somebody perceiving when they have dyslexia?
Well, there is a directional problem. Children with dyslexia often have trouble seeing right and left, and this causes things like B's and D's and P's and Q's that are all the shape of a ball and a stick to be in different directions, and they get confused. Is it a B or a D? And we address all those things with strategies that they can manage to figure it out quickly.
And I would add that the visual aspects of dyslexia get a lot of attention, but there's a lot of auditory aspects because we have a phonetic reading system as opposed to pictures like Chinese. And so if a child cannot take apart the pieces of a word, then it's very difficult for them to put them back together again as a word. And inability to rhyme is one of the factors that's typical of dyslexia.
What would be an example of a strategy, because there's obviously no medicine they can take for it, at least far as I know, but a strategy that would help them do better?
Well, I have a favorite one, and I draw them a bed, B-E-D, and I make them take their hands, and their left hand will be a D, and their right hand will be a B, and they imagine the E in between, and they can do that very with no one knowing what they're doing. They can put their hands in their lap and check it out. Okay, is it a B or a D? So if they have to read out loud, which is a big, scary thing for them, then they can quickly check and see, oh, yes, it's this word is big and not dig.
And how do students come to you all to receive those services and get those strategies? How do the students, how do these young people, these students come to you all? How are they referred? Like, do they
mostly by word of mouth, to tell you the truth. Yes. We have people who have been with us, and then they have a friend. Oh, your child may be dyslexic. We know of, you know, Dyslexia Institute. And that's how we get our folks.
No, I was just going to say, because I was just curious in terms of your relationship with the school system. So you all have, sadly, no. I can infer what you're...
We are not mentioned.
We do get referrals from pediatricians.
Yes.
Well, we'll try to offline help get you in touch with the schools. But dyslexia, of course, for years, nobody knew what it was. It gets confused with the kids are slow or they're stubborn or they're, whatever.
Oh, no, that's...
But my question is, if I'm a parent and my kid is not academically or not, you know, reading so well, whatever, how can I begin to get a sense of, is this dyslexia or is this something else?
Well, it's very difficult sometimes. And we do have parents, and after they find out the child is dyslexic, they say, oh no, I said he's lazy, and I said, and, you know, it becomes, yeah, and teachers often do it, and because there's not enough known about it, but there are things that we have, there are certain things that show up as they're growing up. They might be late in speaking. They have difficulty pronouncing words. They are good in math, but not in reading. Mm. And that's, you know, we have Albert Einstein, who was dyslexic. He was a math genius, but he failed kindergarten. So it is often difficult. And but once, you know, that's why I wish the schools were a little bit more prepared or educated about it. And they could let parents know that your child is not lazy, have him tested. Or the schools now, they actually can test for dyslexia.
And one thing that has been a game changer, and many thanks to Bill Soles and others who pushed for screening of all first graders.
Mm, yes.
Good.
And Ms. Thomas has a wonderful screening instrument that has turned out to be very accurate.
Yes.
So we are able to get children in for therapy quickly and when they're very young. We like to get them when they're about kindergarten, second semester of kindergarten, if we can.
Good time to tell people how to reach you. Where are you, or what's your phone number or website or URL?
Well, one way they can reach us is my phone number, 575-649-2992. And we are located at in the electronic caregiver building, but we don't have a street address other than that.
What percentage of kids have dyslexia? Or do we know?
I'm sorry?
What percentage of kids are dyslexic?
1 out of 5.
Okay.
Wow. So it's more than we realize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I was just curious then, especially considering that all students now, right, are getting assessed. So then has that increased the number of students that you're serving?
And one of the things that's so important is early intervention, because if children live with this, then it becomes a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. They lose self-esteem. They think they're not smart. They don't want to read out loud. They're scared of it. They're nervous to go to school and often don't like school. And one of the nice things I heard one of my older students say is, I like school again.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just in terms of services then too, are you only serving children or will you serve adults as well?
Everyone.
Everyone. Okay. So maybe somebody who might be listening, who's like, I don't know, maybe I've had this problem, they can reach out to you.
We have had adult students.
Mm-hmm. And oh, fantastic.
A lady who was 54 and she said, I'm tired of having my grandkids read my newspaper for me. Mm. So she came to us and worked with us, and it works for everyone.
Our oldest student was 69.
Wow.
That's amazing.
To date.
And what other strategies or, treatment methods are there?
We have, we use something called sound pictures. And because children have difficulty sometimes with, you know, we have the vowel a, and e, and I, and to them it sounds alike.
Mm-hmm.
So We have pictures of every sound that our mouth makes. And that helps. It's not auditory, it's visual. Because of the auditory problems, we use another method to teach the same thing. So we are multimodal. And that's somehow we seem to be successful. Something is going to work.
Yes. And dyslexic children can learn to read. Mm-hmm. They have to be taught in a different way. And our program was developed by the Scottish Rite Children's Hospital in Dallas. It's a very well-researched program.
A caller asked, to what extent does dyslexia have different levels where somebody could be a little dyslexic or a lot?
Yes.
And does it vary quite a bit?
Every child is a different puzzle. Mm-hmm. Some are more involved than others.
And go ahead.
And some of them take longer. That's why our program is either 2 or 3 years long. And everyone goes at their own rate because every child is different.
And do they see the symptoms differently? You know, this one sees the letters moving, this one can't tell B from D, whatever.
Yes, there are different. Some may not be as affected by the shapes and the B's and D's, but have other problems.
Yeah, and then, so once a student comes to your institute and gets the services, what impact do you all see on their on their schoolwork, on maybe their self-esteem?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's an amazing change, and it happens pretty quickly. I have had a student for, 3 months maybe, and he came in with a big smile and a big cowboy hat, and he had his test paper in his hand, and he couldn't wait to tell me. So, and he got a 4, which is the highest he could get, and that was in vocabulary, which is one of the things that they have trouble in. And I know Ellen has a student who, it seems he was just waiting for this information, and he absorbed it so quickly, and he went from kindergarten when I screened him to second grade level.
Oh, wow.
In a matter of what? 6 months?
Well,
not even.
He started in July, and so he's in third grade.
So 4th month.
We're going to have him on grade level. But it depends on a lot of things. Their native intelligence, a big factor is the commitment of the parents. They have to come 2 days a week at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I let's dig into that just a little bit, too. So what sort of commitment? So 2 days a week of services. And what do you consider that? Therapy?
Is a minimum.
Therapy.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just depending on sort of their need and their level.
Yes, we do need consistency because the children, most of them, have memory problems. And if we only see them once a week, then next week, that's 7 days that have gone by and they haven't been, reviewing what they've learned.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the consistency is important.
Wow.
Want to reiterate that we're talking with Ellen Sage and Uta Thomas from the Dyslexia Institute about dyslexia. In a minute or so, anything more you want to say that we weren't smart enough to ask you yet?
All I want to say is that it is so important that the public understand the prevalence of dyslexia and the fact that it can be addressed. And we just appreciate so much you having us on the air.
Yes. Thank you.
Well,
both
thanks
of
for
you.
Being with us. And
I'm at any age. I was just totally blown away by somebody 69 seeking your services, and then moving
You're never
through
too
successfully,
old to learn,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. And people, it's the kind of thing that people are in denial about or don't fully understand themselves. I mean, for generations, people thought, I'm tell stories okay, but I'm lousy at books, and they didn't realize that everybody else wasn't dealing with the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and one of the things that is interesting is that within the dyslexia population, they are the highest in entrepreneurship.
Huh, that's interesting. Well, maybe we'll have you back later on sometime, and maybe with somebody who has been dyslexic. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for being with us.